And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking beautiful, this one right here, Alabama. I mean, y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Got a couple more texts that I'll get to here real quick. Let's see what you got. Marcus from Huntsville, talking about that tone-deaf politician thing I had a minute ago. He says, unfortunately, I disagree. Okay. He said, I think it's more about lining their pockets with money than being tone-deaf. So I think there's significantly less that feel like they're actually doing the right thing than there is greed with politicians. You know, it's a mixed bag, Marcus. So bottom line is, I'm not going to tell you I've never seen or felt like there were folks that were on the take in Montgomery. I heard some really awful stories, you know, secondhand. I've seen some folks that I believed were, if you will, overindulging in the perks of office, if you know what I mean. And then at the same time, I've seen people that were like just really, you know, sucking up to the casino lobbyists because they wanted favor on another bill. And then I saw people that were just like, eh, whatever, man, I could care less. And they just did whatever and went with the wind. So it's going to be a dogfight. But anyway, Marcus, there you go. Brand spanking new in the text line. Hey, you can plug this one in. Boom. Corey from Vicksburg, Mississippi. He says, hey, this is Corey. I drive trucks, and every time I travel through Alabama, I try my best to catch your show, thoroughly enjoy it. I'm from a town that has 6 casinos, and it's a terrible idea. Oh, wow. The city begins catering to tourists and makes it all about tourism and then puts the citizens and the citizens' needs on the back burner. Wow. Wow, Corey. Thank you much for – first of all, thanks for listening, and be safe on the road. We like our over-the-road drivers, so if you ever want to call in, you're welcome to it. And by the way, Corey, if you can't get us on the radio, you can always catch it streaming. Just go to rightsideradio.org. And you can pick up the show no matter where you are. We got folks that listen in Hawaii. We got folks listening in Indiana and Rome, Georgia, and all over the place. So anyway, but Corey, thanks so much. Appreciate it. All right. Let me jump in here. So number one, triple dipper, election 2024. Let's talk some stuff here. I mean, I got some stuff. And let me just go ahead and say, buckle up, y'all. It's going to be a wild ride. I mean, you know, ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned the seatbelt sign on. So this is proving to be an unusual primary. Not unusual in the sense of, you know, lots of candidates. I mean, it's not unusual to have a lot of candidates. We're winnowing the field down, which I think we're supposed to. That's the way primaries work. The primary season, you get traction or you don't. You debate, you try to prove your worth, you raise money, you're doing the whole whistle stop thing. But we got the Donald Trump factor, which is, I'll be honest with you, is different than the average primary. There are people that are herding in behind him that are at half the level of polling that he is, but they're continuing to do their work. And so here's the thing. I'm just gonna get out there and say it. I believe that Trump's gonna be the nominee. But there are people doing everything they can to derail his campaign. It only takes one, and they know it. That's why there's so many. It only takes one. If his campaign gets knocked off of a single ballot, it changes his ability to be the primary front runner. If he gets a felony conviction and he does not have time to appeal it, he could potentially be knocked off the ballot. I mean, they're doing everything they can to dismantle the man's campaign. And yet, he polls in the 40s and the 50s. I mean, he polls enough to where there might not even be a runoff. At this point, if the runoff were today, depending upon which poll you look at, the primary were today, the potential is there for a runoff. Because you're looking at Trump not having more than 50% in most polls. He's in the mid to low 40s. A couple of polls, he's at like 51, 52, 53. But if Haley and DeSantis hang in there, what they're also doing, it's one of those things where you got to look at it and go, okay, recognize this. Trump is the absolute front runner, but over 50% of registered voters say they're not voting for him at this point. That's also significant. He's like an incumbent without being an incumbent because he is a former president. He's just one term removed from when he was in office. So he has the power of the name ID, the power of the previously held office, without truly being an incumbent because he's had a 4-year break. But when have you ever seen someone who's an incumbent having this much of a field chasing his coattails and he can't stay over 50% of the vote? That's where Trump is. So the danger here is that we have people that vacate if they don't get their nominee. And we can't do that. Y'all, I'm just telling you right now, tell your friends, if you got like some never Trumper type friends who are just bound and determined that Trump won't be the president, just ask them, are they content to have Biden 4 more years? Because that's what'll happen. We do not have that luxury. So I'll just tell you right now, buckle up and get ready. Vote your conscience on primary day and then vote, you know, against Biden, if you will. If you have to hold your nose and vote against Biden, do it. If you're going to the general election and you can't vote for the candidate, then please at least vote against the other one, all right? Here's some things, though, just for you to know. Story on Daily Caller broke yesterday. Speaker Mike Johnson, our new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson just endorsed Donald Trump for president. Johnson was asked on CNBC who he would be endorsing as the Republican nominee, and he did not hold back his support for Trump, according to the Daily Caller. He says, I've endorsed him wholeheartedly. He said, look, I was one of the closest allies that President Trump had in Congress. He had a phenomenal first term those first 2 years. As you all know, we brought about the greatest economic numbers in the history of the world, not just the country, because his policies worked, and I'm all in for President Trump, Johnson said. I expect he'll be the nominee, and yeah, he's going to win it, and we'll have to make Biden a one-term president. There's that. Speaker of the House. That's a major endorsement, by the way. That's a big name, big ticket kind of endorsement. But just so you know, where's your Alabama folks? Where's your Bama delegation? Well, looking back a little bit, in early August, you may recall this. I pulled this one off the hill. The entire Alabama House GOP delegation is backing former President Trump. So keep in mind, we have 7 members of Congress for the state of Alabama. 6 of them are currently Republicans. Of course, Terry Sewell, the Democrat, she's not going to endorse anybody but Biden. But Representatives Adderholt, Rogers, Palmer, Moore, Strong, and Carl have all now openly endorsed President Trump, and all, as well as Senator Tommy Tuberville. I don't believe, I could be wrong, but I don't believe that Senator Katie Britt has issued any kind of an endorsement at this point. I believe what she said was she will be openly supporting whoever is at the top of the ticket. Okay, but if y'all have an article out there, and I probably should have looked it up, and maybe I'll type it in during the next break, that says whether or not she has, let me know. But anyway, there's that. So the entire House delegation from Alabama is literally endorsing President Trump. Then there's this one. I told you a minute ago about efforts to get Trump off the ballot, and I mean literally, y'all, right now. Trump's a juggernaut in the polls. He can't be surpassed at this point unless something truly knocks him down. So, you know, do we have in this case, it'd be like a February surprise for the primary? I don't know. Are they going to pull pictures out of a drawer that we wish we'd never seen? I don't know. I don't think so. I think that would have already come out by now. I mean, if they've got the goods on Trump that no one's ever seen, I'm curious how they just now found it, because that man's been vilified, researched, lampooned, you know, dirt and mud slung all over him, and he just continues to rock on. He is the most resistant figure I've ever seen in public office. But they're going to do what they can also legally. So here's something brand new for you, and this is amazing to me. I mean, they have no shame. The left has no shame whatsoever. They do not care if they win this thing by, you know, pointing the barrel of the gun at you while you go to the polls. They don't care. As long as they win, they don't care. Daily Wire, Dateline yesterday. A Michigan judge ruled on Tuesday that former President Donald Trump can stay on the state's primary ballot. Remember I told you, I think it was last week, there's multiple lawsuits trying to get him kicked off the ballot, because every piece of the Electoral College is going to matter. If Trump's missing on one state, especially the swing states, there's no way he can win unless it's a runaway election. Anyway, the lawsuit filed by the left-wing nonprofit organization called Free Speech for Free Peoples, or Free Speech. We don't want you to vote for your candidate, but we stand for free speech. Awesome. They argue that Trump violated Section 3 of the 14th Amendment in connection with the U.S. Capitol breach on January 6th. Thank you, Daily Wire, for not calling it an insurrection, because it wasn't. That particular piece of the 14th Amendment actually bars people from taking the oath of office if they've engaged in, quote, insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to enemies thereof. Well, the judge made the point. His name is Judge James Redford, Michigan Court of Claims. He said, first of all, the case was filed saying the Secretary of State could have him removed. The Secretary of State does not have that authority. Next, he said the ultimate decision is made by the respective political party who qualifies their candidates. Now, the only thing that concerns me is the judge kicked out the case. Does this mean that the judge would believe there's authority to handle it in a general election as opposed to a primary? I don't think so. The Trump campaign, of course, crowed about this and said, yay, and points out that every one of these ridiculous cases have lost because they're unconstitutional left-wing fantasies. That was Michigan yesterday. Then there was Minnesota last week that also dismissed a similar case. Colorado just ruled that they'll go to court on it. So they didn't just dismiss the case. They're requiring a hearing. I think it's next week. Then you have similar cases in Arizona and New Hampshire also. It's just unreal. All right, listen, we're going to talk about who's left and who's going to be leaving, if anybody, right after this break. So, yeah, y'all stay tuned. We're talking about election 2024. And then coming up top of the hour, I got my friend Terry Lathan coming on, who's the former chairwoman of the Alabama Republican Party, who is now the campaign chair for Ron DeSantis in Alabama. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, just making common sense like a superpower up in here. All right, we're in number one of the Triple Dipper. And like I said, keep in mind that we're going to have a call here in a few minutes from Terry Lathan, who's the former chair. You hear John Wall on the show quite often lately. Prior to John Wall, Terry Lathan was the chairwoman of the Alabama Republican Party, there for, I think, two terms. Anyway, she'll be calling in because she is now the Alabama campaign chair for Ron DeSantis. I actually looked around, and if somebody knows who it is, please tell me. But I tried to figure out whether or not any of the other major campaigns, I don't see where Nikki Haley or Donald Trump have a Alabama chair. And if that's the case, I'm curious. But also, if they're out there, they're going to have equal time if they want to come on. So just know, those of y'all that are Trump fans or Haley fans or Ramaswamy fans or whatever else, if they have a campaign representative who wants to come on and talk about their campaign and give you guys an earful, I'm game for it, but I can't find them. So Terry Lathan, I know. The rest of them, I mean, I like to think I'm sort of savvy, you know, able to sort of track some things down, resource the show, but I could not find these. So if you know who they are, please tell me who they are. I'll just put the Ruffian Army on it. There you go. The Ruffian Army. By the way, I gotta mention something real quick. I was virtually chastised. Not really. But I was reminded the other day that I have not been pointing out the Right Side store. I mean, we got merchandise. You guys can order Right Side t-shirts. You can order Right Side coffee mugs. You can order the famous and or infamous Right Side socks, because everybody needs socks with the Right Side logo on them. I just forgot to mention it for the longest time. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org, and look for the Right Side store. Order what you want. Make great stocking stuffers. I'm just saying. But yeah, please do. We'd love to get you guys in the Right Side Ruffian Army with the right things to drink your coffee out of and things to put on your feet. All right. Continuing with the mode of election 2024. Got a piece here. This one comes from The Hill magazine again. And by the way, keep in mind, every misstep counts. I mean, we're just within a few months of the primary. So if you make a misstep, you don't have much time left to recover at this point. But, and in fact, I'll skip the story I had there. Let me go to this one from Fox. Critics ripped Nikki Haley over her vow to require all social media users be verified, calling it blatantly unconstitutional. So here's what happened. And this is a self-inflicted wound. Is she going to stick with it, or is she going to crawfish and try to explain what she really meant was? But so Nikki Haley was in an interview. Who was she with? I've forgotten who she was being interviewed by, but she was in an interview just yesterday, and she up and says that she believes that if she's elected president, she ought to, the first thing she says when I get in the office, we're going to do is have all social media accounts and social media companies have to show America their algorithms. Let us see what they're pushing and how they're pushing it. The second thing is every person on social media ought to be verified by their name. Okay. You know, I'll be honest with you. I've been attacked any number of times by people who use an avatar and a fake name. And you look at it and go, okay, so you're just scared to say who you really are. I get it. But then Ron DeSantis made a great point. He came out and capitalized on this. He came out and said, you know who were the anonymous writers back in the day? Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, and James Madison when they wrote the Federalist Papers. They were not national security threats, nor are the many conservative Americans across the country who exercise their constitutional right to voice their opinions without fear of being harassed or canceled by the school they go to or the company they work for. Well, they got a point. I mean, you look at Libs of TikTok. I mean, what a great Twitter site that does amazing things. And then it was a big deal when they outed who she was. And she's, you know, she's recovered from it, but the lady who runs it was just doxed heavily. And then you got the one that calls himself Cat Turd. Cat Turd on Twitter cracks me up. Some of the best, snarkiest little comments about politics. And Cat Turd decided to go ahead, you know what, and put on his hat and boots and go to an event recently and have his picture put out there. And he's just saying, you know, he said, I've been in hiding now for the last several years, but here I am. So Nikki Haley just totally goofed, I think, on this one. In her words, it's a national security threat, she says. When you do all that, all of a sudden people got to stand by what they say. It gets rid of the Russian bots, the Iranian bots, the Chinese bots. You might get some more civility. Well, then again, you might also get somebody fired from their job because now they don't feel like they can speak anymore. It's a curious thing. So here's that story from The Hill. Election 2024. Some of you political junkies out there, you're looking at it and going, what's going to happen next? Who's going to make it? Well, Trump is polling beyond anybody. We already said that. Depending on the poll, he's at, you know, mid-40s, early 50s in terms of the polling. Rarely do we see a consistency with him that allows him to say there's not going to be a runoff. But in the next tier, the silver medalists, the question from The Hill, first of all, is can Haley overtake DeSantis? She's the one with the most momentum. DeSantis appears to have plateaued. I mean, he's been stable, but he's not been growing. He's been providing, you know, reasonably solid answers in the debates, but he's not been dynamic. And it may just be his possibility as much as his personality as much as anything. But it says a Real Clear Politics polling average of Iowa surveys has DeSantis in second behind Trump, Haley third. But in the Real Clear Politics polling averages of New Hampshire, Haley places second, DeSantis behind her. And then you got one poll showing DeSantis, that's the NBC News Des Moines Register poll, showing DeSantis and Haley tied behind Trump. So both campaigns, it says, are trying to prove that they have the highest donor enthusiasm. After the third debate, DeSantis and Haley both raised $1 million within 24 hours. It remains to be seen who will wind up being the number two. Because if something happens to Trump, then you got to know number two is in the catbird seat. Chris Christie, is he going to stay in the race? We'll talk about that more after we have our talk to Terry Lathan, who is the chairwoman for Alabama's Ron DeSantis campaign. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.